Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're tackling the prophet Zephaniah. You know, he's not as well known as some of the others, like maybe Isaiah or Jeremiah, but his words really hit you hard, especially when you consider all the craziness going on back then. We've got some fascinating lecture notes by Dr. Gary Yates. He's like the expert on these minor prophets.
Right. And minor prophets, that just means the books are shorter, doesn't say anything about, you know, how important their message actually is. And with Zephaniah, oh man, you've got these super intense warnings.
Yeah.
But then also this glimmer of hope, and all of it's playing out while the kingdom is falling apart. It's pretty wild.
Okay, so can you kind of set the scene for us? What's going on in Judah that makes what Zephaniah is saying so, I don't know, so urgent?
Okay, so picture this. You've got the Assyrian Empire. They were the big dogs, but now they're crumbling. And then you've got Babylon rising up in their place and stuck in the middle of all this, little Judah.
Yeah.
They're caught between these two superpowers. And to top it all off, things aren't exactly peachy keen within the kingdom either.
So it's a recipe for disaster, basically.
Yeah. Dr. Yates, in these lecture notes, he doesn't sugarcoat it. Judah was a mess, spiritually speaking. They totally turned away from Yahweh. They were all about Bel and Milcom.
Yeah.
And those weren't exactly friendly gods.
Hold on, Milcom. Wasn't that the one with child sacrifice?
Oh, yeah. We're talking rituals in the Valley of Hinnom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, children burned as offerings. Horrible stuff. Really shows you how far they'd strayed from what Yahweh had commanded.
So then Zephaniah comes in and he starts talking about this day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly a pick-me-up, is it?
No, definitely not a party message. But here's the thing. His ministry, it probably started while King Josiah was in charge. And Josiah, he's the one known for all those crazy religious reforms, remember?
Oh, right.
So it makes you wonder, maybe Zephaniah's words, you know, maybe they actually got Josiah thinking, got things moving.
That's interesting. Okay, so what about this day of the Lord? What does Zephaniah say about it? Is it just like God's way of saying you're in trouble?
Well, yeah, you see that phrase in other prophetic books, too. But Zephaniah, he goes all out. It's not just, you know, God getting mad. He's talking about this massive cosmic judgment, like hitting the reset button on everything. It's intense.
Okay, so any specific examples from the notes that really stuck with you?
Oh, yeah. There are some pretty vivid images. Dr. Yates, he points out how Zephaniah, he uses this imagery of Noah's flood, you know, everything wiped out, no one spared. And then, and this is crazy, he compares Jerusalem, the holy city, right? He says it'll become the sacrifice itself. Instead of being a place where they make offerings to God, it becomes the offering.
Wow, that's something else. So what about young Josiah? How does he react when he hears all of this?
Well, he goes all in on change. Big time. Dr. Yates goes through all the details. Josiah sets about wiping out all that idolatry, smashing idols, even like desecrating the Valley of Hinnom to put a stop to the child sacrifices. Yeah, he's basically trying to like totally clean house, get rid of every trace of these other gods.
So he's serious.
Yeah, dead serious.
What's interesting, though, is Josiah, he was only 8 years old when he became king. So he wasn't exactly calling the shots as a little kid, right?
No way. And that's where the timeline gets really interesting. Dr. Yates points out how Josiah, he was already taking down idols by the time he was 16. And this is years before they found the Book of the Law in the temple. So something else was motivating him.
Yeah, definitely. Something else is going on.
Yeah. And, you know, Zephaniah was preaching right around then in those early years of Josiah's reign. So you got to wonder if there's a connection. Maybe the prophet's message, you know, maybe that's what pushed Josiah to make these changes.
It makes you think. What if Zephaniah hadn't spoken up? Would Josiah have still, you know, gone down this path? It really shows you how powerful one voice can be, even when everything's falling apart.
It really does. But sadly, history shows us that Josiah's reforms, as good as they weren't enough to save Judah.
Yeah, there's always a twist, isn't there? So what happened? Did Josiah's reforms just, like, fade away after a while?
Well, according to Dr. Yates, they did buy Judah some time. But after Josiah died, things went downhill fast. The kings who came after him, they went right back to the old ways, totally abandoned everything Josiah had tried to do.
So it's like all those efforts, all that work to purify the nation, it just, poof, disappeared.
It's like they forgot everything they learned. And that's where you see this struggle between being faithful and just going back to disobedience. It's a story that repeats itself, not just in history, but in our own lives too, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Makes you wonder, can things ever really change? Or are we just doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over?
That's a really good question. But, you know, before we get too bogged down in all the doom and gloom, remember, Zephaniah isn't just about judgment. There's also this glimpse of something better, of restoration, of things being made new.
Okay, so after all that talk of fire and brimstone, there's actually some hope in this book. I got to hear more about this. What does that look like? What does Zephaniah say about the future?
So there's this really beautiful part where he talks about God. He says God's going to change everyone's speech, make it pure. Dr. Yates, he sees this as kind of like reversing the curse of Babel, you know, where everyone was scattered and couldn't understand each other.
Right. Oh.
He's talking about unity, about everyone understanding God, about worshiping together.
Wow. So it's like, even with all the mess, all the brokenness, there's this possibility of everyone coming together, of finding a common language, not just like words, but in their hearts.
Exactly. And this vision of hope, this would have been so important for the people who were facing exile. It's a reminder that God's plan, it goes way beyond what's happening right now.
So even with the warnings, there's this light at the end of the tunnel, this promise that God's story, it isn't over. And that even the darkest times, they can lead to something new.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
This is already way more than I expected from Zephaniah. I'm really excited to dig into the structure of his book, the language he uses.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm still kind of reeling from all that, you know, those intense descriptions of the day of the Lord. It's not just your typical fire and brimstone kind of prophecy. It's like way bigger, more cosmic, you know?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what the people hearing this for the first time, how they would have reacted.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say they probably would have been freaked out, especially with the way Zephaniah, how he structures his message. It's really interesting. He uses this thing, it's called chiasm. It's like almost like a mirror, reflecting ideas back and forth.
Oh, okay, chiasm. Yeah, I've heard of that, but I don't really remember. Can you break that down for me? Like, how does this mirror thing actually work in Zephaniah?
Okay, so imagine you're looking in a mirror, right? Things on your left, or they're mirrored on your right. And there's a central point in the middle. Well, Zephaniah, he does the same thing with themes, you know, ideas. Dr. Yates explains that the main point, the center of Zephaniah, it's this Day of the Lord concept. But it's not just a one-time event.
So it's not just like, boom, Judgment Day is here.
Yeah, exactly. It's more complicated. Zephaniah, he talks about judgment happening like soon, but then also way in the future. So there's the judgment coming for Judah right now, but then he zooms out. It's like the whole world is going to get judged. But then he circles back to Judah, and in the end, it's all about restoration. It's this widening and the narrowing focus.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get it. So it's like this echo chamber, you know, with the Day of the Lord echoing throughout the whole book. But who exactly is Zephaniah saying is going to get judged? Like, who's on the list?
Well, he names names. He talks about the Philistines, the Moabites, the Cushites, even the Assyrians, you know, the big guys, they get a mention too, which that actually kind of echoes what the prophet Nahum was saying. It's like this wave, you know, starting with Judah and then spreading outward, hits all the surrounding nations.
It's it kind of makes you think about how everything's connected. Like what one nation does, especially a nation that thinks they're God's chosen people, it can have, you know, consequences for everyone.
That's a really good point. And Dr. Yates, he highlights that. He says, yeah, Judah thought they were special, but their actions, they put them on the same level as those pagan nations. Pretty humbling, right? Even the people closest to God, they can face judgment if they mess up.
For sure. So if we're talking about Judah specifically, what's Zephaniah condemning them for?
Oh, he doesn't hold back. He calls Jerusalem a rebellious city, defiled. He says they ignored God, rejected any attempts to, you know, correct them. Dr. Yates, he points to this one part. It's really powerful. Zephaniah describes God stretching out his hand against Judah, like this image of God's judgment coming down and there's nowhere to hide.
And to make things even worse, Zephaniah compares that judgment to a sacrifice. And Jerusalem, it becomes the offering. It's like, to put insult to injury, their place of worship, it becomes the very thing that God's anger is consuming.
It's a heavy image, for sure. And it speaks to how serious Judah's sins were. All that stuff they were doing, especially, you know, the child sacrifice, it was just like totally against everything Yahweh stood for.
Makes you wonder if there was any way back for them at that point. Had they, like, crossed the line they couldn't uncross?
Well, like we said, Josiah's reforms, they did give them a little more time, but ultimately they went back to the old ways. It's like they couldn't break those bad habits.
It's like, what's that saying? Old habits die hard. Makes me think about how tough it is to, you know, to really change. even when we know something's bad for us.
It's true. It's this constant battle, right, between knowing what's right and actually doing it. And it's not just about what we do as individuals. It's like the whole mindset of a nation.
Which brings us back to repentance. Zephaniah, he doesn't just, you know, condemn. He also says they need to change their hearts.
Right. Exactly. He says, seek the Lord, seek righteousness, seek humility. And it's not just about saying the words. It's about, you know, realizing we need God and then actually changing our lives to line up with what he wants. It's about real change inside and out.
So it's not about just, you know, going through the motions. It's about becoming the kind of people who actually reflect God's character in how we think, what we say, what we do.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. It's about this deep change that that connects us to God's plan.
Okay, so we've talked about judgment, about the need for repentance, but Zephaniah, he also offers this little bit of hope for the future, like a light at the end of the tunnel.
And that's where Zephaniah's message really connects with a big theme in the Book of the Twelve, this idea of waiting for God to rescue them.
But it's not just sitting around, you know, waiting for something to happen, right? It's
right.
More than that.
Yeah. Right. It's not about giving up. It's about waiting with this sense of hope, of anticipation. You know, Dr. Yates, he makes it clear that this waiting, it's tied to repentance. It's about knowing we need God, asking for his guidance, and trusting that, you know, he's going to act when the time is right.
So it's like this posture of humility and trust. Like, okay, we don't have all the answers, but we have faith that God's working behind the scenes, even when we can't see it.
Exactly. And this idea of waiting with hope, you see it in other prophets too, like Micah and Habakkuk. They're all saying God's timing is perfect. Even when things look bad, we got to hold on to faith.
That's encouraging. Like a reminder that God is still in control.
Yeah.
Even when things are crazy and uncertain, he hasn't forgotten his people.
And that brings us back to that vision of restoration. You mentioned how Zephaniah talks about God changing everyone's speech, making it pure. What do you think he means by that?
Well, at first, it sounds like he's saying everyone will speak the same language, like reversing what happened at the Tower of Babel, you know, where people were divided because they couldn't understand each other.
That's what a lot of people think. But Dr. Yates, he says it's about more than just language. It's about hearts and minds being united, like a world where everyone understands each other deep down. No more division, no more fighting. Imagine that. A world where we can communicate not just with words, but with a shared purpose.
That's powerful. It makes me think about how so much of the conflict, all the division in the world, it comes from not understanding each other, not having empathy. If we could truly get each other, maybe things could be different.
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And it speaks to that longing we all have, you know, to connect, to belong. Even if we speak different languages, come from different places, there's that basic human need to be understood and to understand others.
And I think that's really the core of Zephaniah's message, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he talks about judgment, about destruction, but in the end, he's talking about restoration, about God bringing his people back to him, creating a world where everyone can worship together, united, harmonious.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that even when things are messed up, broken, there's always hope for something better, something beautiful.
This has been eye-opening. Zephaniah is so much more than just doom and gloom. It's a call to action, you know, a reminder that God's working even in the darkest times to bring about his plan.
And that's worth remembering, right? Especially when we're facing our own challenges, our own uncertainties.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to hear more about what you've learned from Dr. Yates' lectures. What other gems are hidden in the Book of Zephaniah? Let's jump back in. We're back, diving deeper into Zephaniah. You know, I got to say, I thought this would be all doom and gloom, but there's so much more to it. That whole idea of waiting with hope, of like really changing who we are deep down, it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it really gets you thinking. And one thing Dr. Yates keeps coming back to is that, you know, what happened to Judah, it wasn't inevitable. There were like moments, these crossroads where things could have gone a different way. They could have turned away from all that, you know, all the stuff that was leading to disaster.
It makes you think about those what if moments. In history, sure, but also maybe in our own lives too. Are there choices we make that, you know, lock us into a certain path, or can we always like course correct, change things?
It's a big question, right? Dr. Yates, he points out that even though God said flat out that he was going to wipe Jerusalem clean because of all the terrible things King Manasseh did, but even then there was still a chance for them to, you know, repent, change their ways. God wasn't just waiting for them to mess up so he could punish them. He wanted them to come back to him.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
So these prophecies, it's not just God saying, you know, you're doomed. It's more like he's begging them to turn back to him. Choose a different way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to see it. And that's where Zephaniah's call to seek the Lord, seek righteousness, seek humility. It all fits in. It's not just about dodging punishment. It's about living a life that lines up with what God wants.
But this call to change, it's not just for individuals, right?
Yeah.
It's for the whole community.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Dr. Yates, he talks about how Josiah's reforms, yeah, the king started it, but it impacted the whole society. Remember, Josiah, he didn't just get rid of the idols. He went all out, desecrated places like the Valley of Hinnom to stop that child sacrifice. He was serious about cleaning up the nation's worship.
It makes you wonder, though, why didn't it last? You know, after Josiah died, it's like Judah just went right back to their old ways. Why didn't those changes stick?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Dr. Yates thinks maybe those reforms, they were kind of forced on people, you know, top down. It wasn't a real change of heart. They were doing the right things, but maybe not for the right reasons.
It's like trying to make someone change their behavior without dealing with, like, what they actually believe, why they do what they do. You might see some changes on the surface, but eventually those old habits, they come back.
Exactly. And that's where real transformation comes in. It's not enough to just change what we do. It has to start deeper. In our hearts, you know, aligning what we want, what motivates us with God's will.
It makes me think about times in my own life when I've tried to, you know, make changes, but I wasn't really all in. It's so easy to slip back into those old habits, even when we know they're not good for us.
Yeah, it's a struggle for sure. But Zephaniah reminds us that real change, lasting change, it is possible. But we got to seek God with everything we've got. Let his spirit work in us, change us from the inside out.
And that message, it still applies today, doesn't it? We might not be facing the same, you know, threats as ancient Judah, but we all have those areas where we need God's guidance, where we need to let him work in us.
I totally agree. Zephaniah's message, it's timeless. It speaks to that human part of us that wants to wander away from God. And it reminds us that we need his grace, his transforming power.
This whole deep dive into Zephaniah, it's been so much more than I thought it would be. It's really made me think about my own life, my own choices, how I need to, you know, really seek God, let him change me.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it is. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
I think the main takeaway from Zephaniah is this. Even when things are bad, when judgment is coming, there's always hope. God is a God of justice, yeah, but he's also a God of mercy. He always offers us a way back to him. It's never too late to turn back, to embrace the life he has for us.
That's powerful and something we all need to hear. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Zephaniah. We hope you've, you know, maybe learned something new or been inspired to seek God more deeply in your own life.
Until next time, keep exploring.